This is North Shore Today for Tuesday, January 3, 2017. Thomas Grillo writes on itemlive.com, Lynn residents lined Exchange Street in SUVs, pickup trucks, late model cars, and jalopies. Hundreds of Good Samaritans arrived in droves at Lynn Arts Monday with bags of clothes, shoes, coats, diapers, toys, gift certificates, and cash in response to a plea of support from the nonprofit and Mayor Judith Flanagan Kennedy to help the dozens of families displaced by the New Year's Day fire on West Baltimore Street. Lisa Wallace, founder of One Community, One Voice, is quoted as saying, Lynn is very unique. We're diverse but united, especially when there's a crisis. We come together and we'll fix it. Wallace and dozens of others, including City Councilor and State Representative Daniel Cahill, Democrat from Lynn, and Lynn Museum Executive Director Drew Russo, helped sort the donations that came nonstop for most of the day in several massive Lynn Arts rooms. Rachel and Mark Grigway drove up the front door to donate bags of baby clothes and blankets. Early Sunday, firefighters fought the five-alarm blaze in the four-story apartment building. The 24-unit property displaced 65 residents. None of the residents were injured. They were first brought to City Hall and later taken to Lynn Classical High School. By day's end, all of the occupants were expected to be united with family members or in a hotel. You can help out. Volunteers are needed to help sort donations Tuesday and Wednesday at Lynn Arts. Please contact Jolene Kelly at jolenelynarts@gmail.com. Again, that's jolenelynarts@gmail.com or 781-581-6200. The number again is 781-581-6200. Ariana McNeil writes in the Salem News, despite stepped-up efforts to combat opioid addiction, recently released statistics indicate that more people are likely to die from an opioid-related overdose this year than last year. As of September 30, 1,005 people have died of an overdose in Massachusetts, but those are only the confirmed drug deaths. The death toll is expected to be much higher at 1,475 as of September 30, but those still need to be confirmed. With 3 months of statistics still to come, that means 2016 could soar beyond the estimated 1,747 deaths of last year, according to the Department of Health. Thomas Grillo writes on itemlive.com, in Lynn, the new year will bring fresh leadership to the Lynn City Council. Ward 3 Councilor Darren Sear has lined up votes to be the next City Council president, and Councilor-at-Large Buzzy Barton has secured the vice president post. The vote is expected to take place on the council's first meeting of 2017. City Council President Daniel Cahill, who was elected to the legislature in May, told councilors he planned to step down as president in January. He had been juggling being a city councilor at large, state representative, and working at a Lynn law firm. In addition, he has a wife and two children, and he's quoted as saying the council presidency takes up a great deal of time. Cahill won't say whether he'll run for re-election for the council in 2017. City councilors are paid $25,000 annually, and the council president gets an extra $2,000. Councilor at large Brian LaPierre said he is looking forward to serving with Sear as council president. And Ray Lamont writes in the Gloucester Times, some Gloucester residents say they're worried that a $17.5 million plan to raise and rebuild the 40-year primary wing of the Sawyer Free Library may orphan the historic Saunders House that for decades served as the centerpiece of the property. But the head of the library board says that while the panel has not decided how it can use or what it may do with the 272-year-old Saunders facility, the board recognizes its significance and vows it will be preserved. Gloucester attorney Meredith Fine, who serves as president of the library's board of directors, is quoted as saying, "We care deeply about the Saunders House. I know there are many people in Gloucester who, for them, that is the library they grew up with. We certainly recognize that and will treat it with respect." Yet, the 1764 Saunders House does not have a role in the library's current expansion plans, which called for raising the connecting building and the so-called 1976 wing that houses the vast majority of the library's collections and service rooms. This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.